everybody. Welcome back. Welcome back to Stop Telling You to Relax. My name is Veronica. I think this is like episode 9 or 10, and I'm very excited for the guest for today. She is a wonderful single mother of two teenage girls. She is a real estate agent, and she is a successful parenting coach. She has a consultation business called Home and Harmony Parenting, and I'm really, really excited to speak with her today.
Hi, and thank you so much for having me and hosting me. It's so great that we are connected, and thank you for sharing your audience with me and letting me be a part of your world and the collective of single moms and working single moms. And so, like you said, my name is Monica Browning, and I, my first career before kids, BC, yeah. I was in the classroom for almost 20 years as an early childhood education specialist. I started as a teacher's assistant and then moved my way up, preschool teacher, lead teacher, program director, program coordinator, and all through from infancy up until about age 4. But I specialized in infant toddlers. And that's really where my heart is with the little ones. And so I spent all that time in the classroom, and then education as well. And then I had the privilege when I got married. My dream was to be a full time mom. I always just wanted to be. I thought that that was that I came from a workaholic mother household, and so I thought if I got to be a stay home mom, that would be my dream. And I think part of my parenting coaching program is that we only know how we were parented, basically, unless we've studied education and been in that classroom and had those things. So we either raise our children the way that we were raised, or the opposite is kind of what I've seen. And so like both ends of the spectrum are not usually good, if we want to say good or bad, because there's has to be somewhere of like meeting in the middle versus one end on each spectrum. And so anyway, I became a full-time mom. And we were in active duty. My ex-husband was active duty in the military. And so
which branch of the military, if you don't mind sharing that?
Yeah, no, it was Air Force.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we were in the Air Force. And so I had been working in the classroom, and it seemed silly for me to pay somebody else to take care of my children while I was taking care of other people's children. And also because of his traveling and all of those things, it didn't necessarily make sense financially for us to pay for childcare. And then, I mean, it was basically a wash. So I said, I had the opportunity to stay home. And so I did. And I was really grateful for that. And so fast forward to divorce and all of those things that put me back into the work world is that I had finished grad school, and much like we were talking about, like I had been applying at all these different places to go back into the workforce, and nothing came together. And I kept thinking, okay, this or something better. And I knew that because I was getting divorced, that I needed to be available for my children. And I knew that if I was locked into a regular job type of schedule, that I wouldn't have that flexibility. And so again, I was praying, and real estate came up, and my family had been in real estate. So it was actually deceiving. It always looks so glamorous. And I thought, I want to live that glamorous life.
Selling Sunset. Have you seen Selling Sunset?
It's not like that. It's not Selling Sunset every day, that's for sure. But anyway, I do love real estate. And what I love about it the most is that it's helping families. And that is my whole mission and my life purpose is helping families. And having been in the military, and we moved 7 times in 10 years just in our marriage. And and of course, in my early years of, you know, before marriage, in my teens, I had moved all around as well. So like having this foundation of home is essential. And that's part of my coaching program also, is that as a parenting expert and a parenting coach, the home is, it all starts at home, and it's the foundation. Yeah. So being in real estate, but I've always had this on my heart, is working with children, because I did that for 20 years. So now I'm like bridging both. I feel like I can't leave this earth without helping and working with families. And so that's, and I have the education, I have the experience, I have, you know, time in the classroom and raising my own daughters. Mm-hmm. And so I know, I have intuitive abilities as well. And that was just always been in me since I was a child. Like I just you know, can't necessarily explain or put words to the intuitive ability, but with the experience and the education, it's all full circle. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Is your bachelor's degree in child development?
It's in, well, I have three AAs in child development and infant toddler care. And then I got my bachelor's in liberal studies with an emphasis in elementary education. And then I got my master's in organizational leadership.
Okay. So my bachelor's is actually in child development. And my plan was to go get my teaching credential and teach elementary school. But then life just kind of worked out very differently. But I also taught preschool for 2 years after I got my bachelor's, and I loved it so much. I love that age group from like 2, 3 to like 5. They're just they're amazing. They're so smart. They're so fun. They're like moldable. Like they don't know much. And so you're just putting everything, you know, you want them to learn into them. You know, they're like blank slates. You know, you can just kind of teach them, start to teach them about life and, you know, just the basics, you know.
Yeah, no, I mean, really, honestly, they are our greatest teachers because they live in their authentic selves 100% of the time, and they feel all their emotions and they express however they need to express until the adult
says
what I've learned is that the adult is the one that squashes everything down and says, you know, don't do that and don't feel your feelings too big and you're too loud and you're too, you know, you're too quiet, you're too loud, you're too tall, you're too short. You know, it's like all the things that the grown-up does, which is back to my parenting coaching, is that most people, we want to change the behavior of the child. And really, it's a reflection of ourselves. So the goal is to really, they are our greatest trigger because they are our mirror, because they reflect back to us what we need to learn the most.
Exactly.
Children are just the most magical wonder. They learn and feel on vibration and energy.
Mm-hmm.
And adults are only in the 3D world of what we can see and say. And children learn through sound and vibration before they hear the actual language of the words. And so that's why, you know, when parents, you know, we go at our children and we're talking, and it's like they don't hear anything what we're saying because that's not how they're wired yet. And my kids kind of joke with me now. They're like, well, my brain isn't fully developed, Mom. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you for reminding me because they're not in this, you know, they're not in this logical brain. It takes, I mean, you're not until their late 20s.
Yeah. That's the brain very important to remember with teenagers is that they present as though they could be old enough to think logically and make certain decisions. And so when they don't, you're like, what is wrong with you? But you have to remember their brain is not fully formed yet, you know?
100%. And also I hear all the time, like, oh, they're 8 going on 18. No, they're not.
No. Yeah.
So it's also an expectation of the parent that we put on these expectations that they are going to process like an 18-year-old, but really they
can't.
That's doing a disservice because they really are only 8. And not that they, you know, they are capable, but at the same time, they're only 8 for this minute of time.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's really about the being in the present moment is honoring the process of where we are in every moment. So
absolutely.
But yes, I was going to go back into teach. I thought, well, the only way to change it is to be in it as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was getting my master's, they said that, I mean, basically, you can't even change it in the system. Like, you have to get your doctorate, and then you have to go into all these, you know, be on the boards, and then be a superintendent. And
political, almost.
Yeah. So political. And that, you know, it's just, I'd rather coach parents on a personal basis that for the people that actually want help, because it's a strength, not a weakness.
Yeah.
And the more that we educate and get help, you know, that you can get coaching or helping, it's just like, you know, you get a coach to get, you know, better fitness, to, you know, to get your nutrition right, you get a nutrition coach. You know, if you want to get your finances right, you get a financial advisor, a financial planner. You know, if you want to get your car fixed, you get a mechanic. So it's like hiring the right expert to meet the needs of where you are right now doesn't necessarily have to be through, you know, the system.
Yeah. And I think your business is, your consultation business is for parents is very, very important because, like you said, when we opened, it starts in the home. Like the school environment, and what's, you know, given to the child in the school environment is important and it does affect them. But really, like the home base and how that's structured and how it functions is like key to a child's, you know, long-term success as a human being, as an adult. And that's always been my biggest priority as a parent is like making sure that my son has a stable home where things are calm, where he feels safe, where he feels listened to and valued. That's always been my biggest priority. That's part of the reason why I left, you know, the relationship with his dad and decided to be on my own because it was going to be chaotic and I didn't want that for him. And so it's so important to, even if it's one parent, one single parent households are fine. One stable, you know, solid parent who, you know, listens and respects the child and all of those things is better than maybe two parent household that's very chaotic because somebody is.
I definitely agree that, I mean, the child needs to build and have a secure attachment from at least one provider, and the secure attachment does start at home. And if they don't have that secure attachment, if they don't have those needs met, they will seek it into the external, know, outside in their sphere of influence or their peers, or maybe a toxic environment, or that, you know, that's why, you know, there's so much addiction is because they're trying to fill a void and seek it outside. But I mean, and that's why I wrote my book, because it's called The Connected Parent and How to Raise Children Who Feel Seen, Safe, and Worthy. And that does start at home. Yeah. And there's so many people that, you know, we blame the president, we blame the government, we blame the teachers, and we blame, you know, the coaches, you know, like soccer coach. And but it does start at home. If those values are integrated and you have a true, authentic connection and secure attachment with your children at home, you see the difference.
Absolutely.
And you feel the difference. Yep. You feel the difference. And they feel the difference. Mm-hmm. And that's the most important part.
Yeah. I remember when I was a teenager, Eminem, the rapper Eminem, and like Marilyn Manson, and there were some other at the time, it was very controversial. It probably wouldn't be now. And, you know, there was this thing about like, don't let your kids listen to Eminem. Don't let them buy the CD or Marilyn Manson. I wasn't into Marilyn Manson, but I mean, Eminem was okay, I guess. But, you know, anyways, I remember my parents being like, listen to whatever you listen to what you want.
Yeah.
They were just like that, like a musical influence or whatever. A famous person is not going to trump the influence that we have on you guys as your parents and what happens in this home. So like, I don't care what you guys listen to. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, within reason, but like something like Eminem where he just says cuss words here and there or something like they're like, we don't care.
You know?
And that's kind of how I feel too. Like, I mean, it's different now with social media and kids are exposed to a lot more, but also I'm like, well, if he watches a movie that's a little bit violent or has some cussing, like not necessarily great, but like that's the real world. People curse, people, whatever. I really want him to just, as long as he feels secure in himself and my son knows who he is and he's not, you know, not really heavily influenced by outside media for whatever. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but. Like I have the biggest impact over him. As long as I'm being an attentive parent and involved, then it doesn't matter what rapper or whatever he listens to. You know? I don't know.
Right. I mean, and it's okay to have boundaries also. I mean, to actually children need and thrive on boundaries. And I feel like the parents that maybe don't have that maybe that's not a strength is to enforce the boundaries, then the influence of music and things like that might make a bigger impact in a negative way versus where there are boundaries and yet they're still listening to different various types of music, but it's not going to be as detrimental to their value system.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's
dive in, I guess. And you've told us a little bit about yourself, but maybe explain anything else about yourself, about your life, about your children. Like, what does your current life look like as a single parent? You have two teenage girls. So what does that look like?
Yes. So it is a busy household and my oldest is driving. So that takes a little bit of the burden, not burden, but it takes a little.
No, I know what you mean. Yeah.
In fact, I actually cried when they left for school this year for the first day of school, because it was the first day of their entire career that I didn't take them to school.
Oh my gosh.
And I just thought, oh my gosh, like it's happening. I'm geek, you know, like it's actually happening. My daughter was this, Yeah, I guess it was. Yeah, she did, because when she started her junior year, anyway, she's a senior. And so when she drove both my daughter, you know, her sister to school too, I was just like, oh my gosh, because I've been there for everything, every first day of school, everything. And so so my schedule has a little bit more flexibility in it with a second driver, which is really, it's. And I always say, like, it's helping me. It's not helping, you know, like, you're helping me, not your sister. If they're, if, you know, she's like, if you have to take her somewhere.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I balance real estate and I balance coaching and I love it all. And podcasting is one of my favorite things to do and meet other people. And, you know, we're a connector. And I this is the other thing that I love. And I actually have that in my book. It's like, technology is a blessing and a curse, because we can FaceTime. And you know, when you're FaceTiming people all across the country, like I have my best friend in the UK, and I've been on podcasts in Australia, you know, she's in New Zealand and Australia and the UK. And that's the beauty. And the curse is that we lose ourselves in the disconnecting with one another. So I love the balance of podcasting so I can meet other people. And that's part of my day, is that scheduling various podcasts, working on real estate. So I like that flexibility of schedule, but it's funny. I think I just saw another meme that a realtor said, you know, I decided to quit my 9-to-5 so I could work 24/7. And I thought it was really funny, because, you know, when you're in a transaction, it's like there's so many deadlines and so many things to meet and all of these, like you're working. Yeah. And then you're not in a transaction, you know, you're always working on, you know, your next transaction and your next clients and all of those things. I love the balance of being available for my daughters. And I think that that's one of the keys, is whatever career you're in, is if they know and feel, if they feel like they're a priority, then that's how you start to establish, you know, your secure attachment. And that's what I've done for my daughters. And so, you know, like today, I took my youngest to school. So my daughters have, even though they go to the same school, they have different schedules. And so I take my daughter, my youngest, to school several days a week. And then my oldest takes them the other days, because they start at different times.
Yeah.
Is what
I'm trying to say. My son's high school is like that too. It's like, I mean, he has zero period, which is 7:20. But then it's like some days they don't have zero period. They only have first and then like 8:40. And it's like, it's hard to keep up.
It is hard. In fact, I went into my daughter's room this morning and I said, you know, whatever time it was, she's like, Mom, I'm going to school at whatever time. And I was like, oh yeah, shoot, I forgot. So then I took my other, it was like, oh yeah. And then I came into my other daughter's room and I said, I'm taking you to school. She's like, yeah, I know. It's like, okay, just clarifying.
Right. Yeah.
So I took her to school and then I went to my office, my real estate office, for a meeting, and I was at my meeting for that. And then I've been came home to my home office and caught up on emails and all the other things. And then booked, you know, have the call with you. And then I'm going to, after this, I'm going to another property to meet the contractor. And then
busy,
you know, and then on Monday it was, you know, the same. I met, you know, the stager at the property, and then I went, you know, always, like, the thing is, like, that's the beauty of the computer. It's like, I take it anywhere, and was working on my computer. And then
you
went to
anywhere.
The school for a school meeting, you know, for colleges. And so my days, that's how my days look. But I will tell you the one consistent thing, and this is what I talk about. I have a masterclass on this that people can get, is that mealtime matters. Every meal is an opportunity for connection. And I believe in it so heartedly, 100,000%. And so my daughters and I have dinner together every single night. And even if the schedule is a little bit tweaky, we still sit at the table together every single night. Even if we get takeout, we bring it to the table. I mean, we do, you know, So I'm like, I'm not saying that it's like I have to cook. I'm not Betty Crocker, but I do love to cook. But, you know, I'm just saying, even if we get pizza, you know, we sit at the table and we eat pizza together. And it's sometimes they will just say, you know, I'll tell you at dinner because they know I am so consistent with dinner. And that's our meal. I always say that it can be whatever meal works for your family. But I am so I believe so heartedly that when you come together, it's like breaking bread. When you come together as a family, we and I say in my book also, like we're happy, we're sad, we're angry, we yell, we cry, we laugh, you know, but it's totally like all emotions are welcome. And it's not always pleasant, but we're always together and we go through our schedule and we go through our day and we talk about what's what and this and that. And it's just a total regroup. It's a reconnection. And every single night, well, I will say 9 times out of 10, one of my daughters will say, thank you for making dinner or thank you for, you know, I'm so glad, you know, thank you for dinner, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't make this stuff up and I'm not doing it to get thank you. You know, that is our true foundation of connection.
Yeah.
And especially being a single parent. And when the divorce happened, I maintained that connection. And he had traveled for a lot of our career. I mean,
military, I can imagine he's traveling a lot and always.
Yeah. And so we were alone a lot already because of traveling. And I say career, but I mean like our marriage career.
Right. Yeah.
During that time, he was traveling a lot also, but I always came back to the connection piece. And that's what I learned actually is from the divorce is that even with all of the emotion and all of the grief and all of the sadness and all of the tears is that I always made myself available and made myself present for their emotions and my emotions. And that one of the easiest ways I found to do that, the connection piece, is at mealtime because our guards are down. Like it's safe where you can share if you want to. And it's just been it's been a wonderful evolution from now until, you know, now my daughter's a senior and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like she's, you know, we're talking about her moving away to college and that's a whole nother, you know, a whole nother chapter. But to see the evolution of growth from little, you know, from kindergarten to senior year at the table is just been amazing. And even when we go out to restaurants, and this is what I have a hard time with in restaurants, is that there's always a distraction. Everybody's on their phone. There's always big TVs. Even in nice restaurants, the cloth table restaurants, there's TVs everywhere. So there's so many ways and reasons that we can distract ourselves with our devices and with the TVs. And I believe that's one of the reasons why the mental health and the suicide rates are up and higher is because we are losing these connections.
Yeah,
to these devices.
I agree. I think that everybody's like so into their phones and you know what they have to do and like, you know, just scrolling and looking to other people's lives that they're not even paying attention to their own, and it's just leading to a lot of mental health issues, dysfunction. I totally agree with that. You're inspiring me with this, with mealtime routine. Of course, you know, we have dinner and meals and stuff, but we've never been good about like sitting at the table eating at the same time every day. Like a little bit, but like I don't know, probably because I'm not a cook. I'm always like dreading dinner. I'm like, what am I going to make? Is he going to like it? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. It's always, you know.
You have to follow me at Home and Harmony Parenting.
I'll have to
on Instagram. I try to do really simple, easy. I did the fastest, easiest way to make beef stew, which is a family favorite. And I was shocked at how many people saw it, commented, loved it. Because I do love to cook, but I also am a busy mom and I'm running here. And when my kids are in sports and we're getting home late and everything is hard, I mean, don't get me wrong. I do order out, but we do love grocery. I was talking to somebody else and I was like, I don't usually buy like nice things for myself, but I love going grocery shopping. It's like,
Can you pass that on to me? Because I hate grocery shopping. I always do like the pickup, curbside, whatever. I don't know. It has to do with the cooking. Like, I just don't, I don't know. I don't like it. But
well, I mean, I could definitely do a segment on that and make it so easy for parents. And there is another way to do, you know, like what do you call that? Food prepping. I've used to do that. I'm a former athlete, I say. So I was, you know, prepping meals and things like that just for that reason. But it's funny, though, because after every time I go grocery shopping, I'm always like, maybe we should order out because it does feel like a sport going grocery shopping.
It's a lot of work, like actually going in. It's such a privilege. I mean, so grateful to have like grocery stores at my fingertips to be able to go get food. I know there's 100%. Places where that's not an option.
100%.
But it's just like on top of everything else you have to do, you know, some days, and then like to go into the store and go the aisles and go up and down. And, you know, now, I don't know.
And now it's even more funny is that when my daughters go with me, I always say, for now, I always say, like, will you go grocery shopping with me? Mm-hmm. And most of the time, one of them will be like, okay. And what they get to pick out versus what I would pick out, they're like, oh, I went grocery shopping with mom. And they're like, oh, yeah, because I would never pick out we go to Trader Joe's is one of the major places that we go to. And they have these, I forget the name of it's like a hot Cheeto, but it's a healthier version of it. Right. Takis. Oh, no, it's a hot Taki or something like that. Yeah, anyway, it's one of their favorites. And the ingredients, because I'm also like a nutritionist. I grew up that way. And so I'm really knowledgeable when it comes to health and fitness and all the ingredients. And so I'm a label reader, and I find it very relaxing to do it all. But that's just one of the things. But anyway, so they get to pick out, you know, and I'll call it crap, but you know, they get to pick out their treats that I would never normally pick out. Or if they ask me specifically, then I'll pick it out. But I do have this magical way. They always say that I know how to make something from nothing because I have all these ingredients. But then it's like, well, what do you do with them? I don't know how that part comes naturally. But a lot of times, like even just last night, I just did sheet pan roasted veggies and you know, ground turkey. I just cooked up ground turkey. And so that was, but sometimes I'll do, you know, the ground turkey you can make tacos with. You could do all kinds of different things, but roasted veggies are super simple. And then I have a salad with dinner every single night. It's always salad. Because I remember when my daughter did some, she had in kindergarten, they have these fill out forms for like my mom's favorite color and my mom's favorite thing.
Yeah.
And she wrote like my mom's favorite food and she wrote salad. And I was like, it really is. That's so funny. Like popcorn and salad are my two favorite things.
It's so funny how kids pay attention and know you, you know? My son did one of those, you know, he did a few of those, but he, you know, just certain things, like I didn't think he noticed. Like he put something like my mom's favorite show, like one of the questions was like my mom's favorite show, and he put Bravo, like the TV network Bravo. And I'm like, I wouldn't have even known that he would know
right
network. But they just pay attention in a way that you don't even realize. So they kind of
exactly. And that is another key for us, right? Because they're always paying attention. That's part of being the model, the role model, right? That we want them we want to be the leader of our household, for them to model the behaviors that we want them to and the values that we want them to not only adopt, but live by. And they are always watching, and they are always paying attention to the things that we might not think that they are because they do believe in us.
Yeah, and we do. Yeah.
One other thing about music is, I was going to say music, but one other thing about mealtime is that we always play music. We always play the same music. And what's funny is that sometimes I try to change it and they always want the other same music. So
really,
except for now, we have been playing holiday instrumental. It's always instrumental or it's funny because I love Italy and I have this passion for Italy, but I always play, it's called like Italian dinner music.
Mm-hmm.
And Spotify has been like one of my most favorite investments. And I think on my masterclass, I actually have a link to some of my favorite Spotify things.
Okay. Check that out.
But yeah, no screens are allowed. No phone calls, no phones at the table has been a rule since the very beginning. The only reason we have my phone nearby is because we play music. We play the same music every single night, and it's dinner music. And even when we go to restaurants, like nobody's allowed to be on their phone. We still, sometimes I get the coloring page for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
We all do it together or we do tic-tac-toe on the back, or we play old-fashioned hangman, you know, with the words. It is a connector. And
yeah.
I find that when you look around, you will see a majority of the people are not engaged in each other. They are on some sort of device.
Yeah. I used to serve tables for I did it for 11, 12 years. Serving tables is a great way to learn about human behavior and just dynamics with families and couples and things like that. Couples would go out to eat dinner and not even talk to each other.
Just
sit down and each be on their phones or they're just not even talking to each other. It would just be wild to me. And I'm like, well, then why are you, isn't that the point of a date, to go
out? Of course.
You want to eat, but, to just connect and talk. It was just crazy how disconnected people are. Or if there's a family, a mom and dad and children, only one parent seems very engaged with the children. The other one would just be there, absent, mentally or emotionally or just not present.
That's another commonality that we both have. I worked in hospitality almost my entire career of working in the classroom because at the time, classroom, being a teacher, didn't even pay the bills.
Yeah.
But I loved it so much that I was not willing to leave the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I just got 2 and 3 more jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So I was always working in the school during the day and I was working in restaurants and hospitality at night. I had my own house cleaning business and I was always going to school at night because I was working during the day.
Yeah.
And phones the smartphones didn't exist back then. And you had to go to a sports bar to watch TV while you were eating back then.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm still, significantly older than you are. But yes, even without the devices, you could see that people weren't engaged in each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's really sad.
I do remember noticing that also.
Yeah, it's really sad. But okay, let's pivot a little bit to talk about your life post-divorce. So what have been some challenges that you've experienced after being divorced and becoming a single parent? What are some positive things maybe that you've experienced or have surprised you, have been positive for your life or for your girls? What has that looked like for you?
Gosh, so many. I mean, the positive part is that I really get to I show up 100% authentically for myself and for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that I was in the relationship that I was in that I could have done that because I always tried so hard to probably change myself to meet the needs of the relationship, which we know that that's never healthy or going to work.
Yeah.
And then also giving my children full permission to feel their feelings the way they need to process what they need to. This has been a growth journey. When the divorce happened for me, I was in a state of devastation and shock and grief. And I was in the middle of my master's degree. So I was also trying to figure out what am I going to even do? I'd been out of the workforce for 10 years. I'd just been a full-time mom and that was the hardest job on the planet and I wasn't getting paid for it. So, but then when I got back into the world, it was how do I even fit in? So it had been a process. And then I was training for triathlons and marathons. And that's really what saved my life, I think, because it was a moving meditation. And that's when I really started to dive deep into what are my core values. And I realized that my core values were my family, my daughters. And I dreamed of being a mom my whole life. So it was really the one thing I knew I was going to do was be a mom. And so I did not let that derail me from what mattered most. And that meant to dive into forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been a journey also of going through grief and forgiveness and self-acceptance. The challenges, I think, for me also is managing it all. It's I have to fix every toilet and get every spider and fill out every single document and sign every single piece of paper and
everything on you.
Make all the decisions and do all the grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. And, and now that they're older, obviously they can help me a whole lot more and they can, and I always did ages and stages, when they were old enough to do different chores and different, I met their needs. They met my needs when you know, as the ages and stages got older, but we've always been in the kitchen cooking with a step stool. So I've always taught them how to cook. And, you know, I teach them. I think the biggest blessing is that for them to see that, you know, we are capable, strong women, and yeah, not to be dependent on somebody to come and save the day. It's like I still go out there and work every single day, and it just looks differently because I don't have a traditional time schedule. I don't go to work and stay at work all day long and then come home from work.
Right.
And there's good and bad to that too. And not good and bad, but there's pros and cons. I mean, there's, you know, I know that when people are gone, and this is something that I coach parents on, is because parents, this is part of the secure attachment. When we go away from the day, when we're separated from our children all day long, and even when my kids go to school and I'm not at a traditional job, but I'm working all day long, when they come home from school, or you come home from work, it's like that is the time to reconnect. And I know a lot of people, it's like, and I'm guilty of it too. I come home and I'm like, oh my God, you didn't put away the dishes. You didn't do the laundry, or you didn't take out the trash. I mean, it's like all of these things that are normal, right? But we have to connect. I'm in this parenting group on Facebook, and I just saw this stepdad was posting all these things, and he was like, he doesn't do this, and he does, and he does this, and this, and this, and this, and this. And yes, we all get frustrated because these things aren't done, mm-hmm, but we can't come at them and say, you didn't do X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
We have to connect with them first.
Yeah.
And I find that I do that when I recognize it. And that's the other piece to this, is that I recognize my behavior. I apologize. This was all me. I was going through X, Y, Z or whatever. And that's the humility part of it. And when they see you apologizing, when they see me apologizing, it teaches them how to recognize their behavior. And they come to me with their own apologies.
Yeah.
And so you connect with them. It's like, who did you sit next to at lunch? Or what song are you listening to? It's like, and going into their room and sitting on their bed and asking them, not as an interrogation, but like as a connection point. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, by the way, come and put the dishes away.
Yeah.
You know, by the way, I need help with the laundry.
Yeah.
But if we come at them with, you know, they're immediately on the defense,
exactly,
and they immediately severs the connection, mm-hmm, and they immediately rebel. Mm-hmm. So it's always a balance, and every day is going to be different. And what I also learned is that now that, you know, they're older, in fact, my daughters, you know, like they'll say, like, it's not all about you, Mom. Their behavior and their mood and their whatever, it's mm-hmm not about me. It has nothing to do with me. They are going through, and I say this to other parents when I'm coaching them also, it's like children are not giving us a hard time. They're having their own hard time, mm-hmm, but they don't know how to verbalize it or articulate it or ask for help. Or this is another one of my pet peeves, is that children, parents would always say, like, use your words. Like, they don't have the words to use.
Yeah.
So
it's a model for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have to become the decoders. So when, like, my daughter's like, it's not about you, I'm like, oh, yes, that's right. It has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
It's all, you know, not this particular moment, you know, but sometimes I am the problem.
Yeah, absolutely. I think two really important things that I'm learning, or I have learned, I feel like I'm getting better at, that you mentioned are, like, you know, like, as much as they are still learning about life and how to handle things, they're also very smart. So when they point something out, don't dismiss it, you know,
yes,
because children are very observant. Like we said, they're very observant of us as parents and what we do. And so when they point something out, like, unless it's something totally outrageous, like, real, take it in and, like, think about it, you know, like, oh, that's probably true. Like, I probably, you know, am, you know, being a certain way that isn't, you know, isn't justified or whatever, or I'm getting mad at something that's I shouldn't be mad at or something. It's like, really think about it. I think people, like, dismiss children, like, oh, you're the parent, I'm the parent, you're the child, you don't know what you're talking about, listen to me, whatever. But like they're very smart, very observant, and they know us well, and they love us, so they want the best. So they will tell, you know, if they tell you something, it's sometimes it's like, oh, you're right, you know, and take it in and course correct your behavior. I think that's very important. But also what I've learned with connecting with my son is, like, sometimes, like, I like, there'll be something, we'll be in the moment of something, and I'm like, this is a good time to talk right now. Like, I didn't plan it, but, like, the circumstance is just working out for us to connect or spend time together or watch something together. Like, right now we're watching the last season of Stranger Things. I It's not my, the type of show I like to watch. I really don't even really get what's going on, but my son loves that show. And so he watched the first 5 episodes the day it came out. And then now he wanted me to watch it with him. And I was like, okay, I will. You know,
yes.
You know, he's kind of explaining it. And
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not something I would watch, but like he wants to watch it and he wants to show me his show and explain it to me. So I'll take the time to do it, you know?
100%. I love that.
Steal those moments when you can, you know, when you're not expecting the day to go that way. Steal those moments when you can.
Absolutely. In fact, 100%. But exactly to your point is that I've coached and then also just other people that I've said on a regular basis is that I get to be with my children. Uh-huh. I feel like it's a privilege. It's an honor and a privilege. And so the way that I get to spend time with them, because people have always said, you know, oh, you're so lucky your kids want to spend time with you. And I'm like, well, it's not luck. I work on it. Parenting is a verb. It's an action. And I actively parent every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do course correct. When I mess up, now I recognize it sooner.
Yeah.
You know, like I see it quicker usually. And then I can apologize for my behavior again to recognize their behavior. And then they can apologize to me. But I get to spend time with them.
Yeah.
So if that means watching the show that they want to watch, I'll do it because I get to spend time with them. If that means listening to the music that they want to listen to, it's because that's the connection piece, right? That we get to listen to what they want to listen to.
Yeah.
We get to cook what they want to cook. We get to watch what they want to watch. We get to spend time with them because it's an honor. And it goes to the moments of time that will pass.
Mm-hmm.
So
I
get to spend time with my kids, and it's not always easy in sunshines and rainbows. I mean, like, I navigate my schedule and I work around things. And now that they're older, you know, they can be home alone for longer or whatever. You know, we make the schedule a little bit more flexible.
How old were your girls when you divorced your husband?
Yeah, 5 and so kindergarten. And so they're not 2 years in age, but they're 2 grades. So I always like try to think of it in the schedule of kindergarten and going into kindergarten and going into second grade.
Okay. Okay.
So 5 and
like 7, maybe
7, 5 and 7. Yeah. They just turned 5 and just turned 7.
How did you help them deal with the change, or what advice would you have for parents who are going through a divorce to help their children deal with the change in the household?
Great question. And that's part of, like, it's a privilege to be with our children and to offer support. And I actually have, it's called the Tantrum Toolbox. I'll share my link tree. And that's a resource, because what I really did the most was I held space for their emotions and whatever the emotions were that came up. And he and I had like made an agreement, like we never talked badly about each other. And so it wasn't really about that. It was more just about honoring our feelings and being holding space. And if that just looks like sitting on the ground and having a hug, or, you know, random dance parties in the kitchen, it's like you have to let those emotions get expressed however healthy and safe they can be. So if that means crying, if that means going for a bike ride, if that means I was a training, so I would, they would ride their bike and I would run with them. And that was good for all of us.
Yeah.
I say get outside a lot, create rituals and routines. Like dinner time became very significant in our house. And also we were a no screen. COVID kind of did me in, because we were a no screen family until Friday night. So we would have Friday night movie night and popcorn. And that was a ritual and a routine and a tradition. And I would say anchoring into routine, anchoring into traditions, honoring feelings and allowing the feelings, never shutting them off.
Mm-hmm.
And if that took extra time, then I had to give it that space that it needed.
Yeah.
And sometimes feelings take a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a long time to process and heal and accept. Feelings are tough to manage sometimes.
Yes.
So you mentioned you and your ex-husband decided you weren't going to speak ill of each other in front of the children. What does your relationship with him look like now?
Yeah, we co-parent. I mean, I call it co-parent, but we do. But yeah, it's amicable. It's talking when we need to, texting when we need to.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes text is too hard, so it's just easier to just have a conversation. Sometimes text is easier, so it's easier to text. But it was a process of mostly me. I mean, I don't know. I can't speak for him. I have no idea. But for myself, it was a lot of grieving and releasing resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And apologizing. I've apologized to him for the resentment that I've carried.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, they say that when you stay angry, you're only hurting yourself. It's like you're drinking your own poison because
yeah.
we can never change the behavior of other people.
Mm-hmm.
We can only change the way that we process and handle it and forgive. And it's not that I'm condoning or not condoning, but it's not that I'm accepting. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. So if I carry more resentment and hard feelings, it's only going to hurt me
mm-hmm.
in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
And the children too, I think, you know, it's going to, they can feel what we're feeling. And especially like in regards to their other parent or another family member or something, you know, I would never want that kind of negative vibe for my child. You know, that's why I've really tried to work on things from within myself, just because I don't want him to feel that kind of negative, angry.
100%. And that's exactly right. And that is my whole purpose of all of this, is that children live through energy and vibration until they're so guarded because of the adults. And that catapulted me into self-discovery of my own healing journey and my own growth journey to get to where I am is doing the work of feeling the feelings and, you know, asking for forgiveness and the Ho'oponopono prayer, if you know that one, you know,
yeah.
I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
I love you. Thank you. It's journaling. It's yoga. It's running. It's cold plunging. I mean, fortunately, I live by the ocean, so I can get in the cold.
Yeah, you can just jump in the Pacific Ocean.
I'm not a fan of it, but I'll do it. Definitely nature. I say that.
Yeah, nature is so healing.
At a women's retreat, I spoke on the panel, and that is like my number one way.
Mm-hmm.
is really getting out for a walk or looking mm-hmm. at your own self in the mirror, in your own eyes, deep into your eyes, mm-hmm. and saying, you know, I love you, you're good enough, you matter, and you've got this, and everything is always working out and for my highest good, because you know, it doesn't feel like it in the moment, it feels like shit, you know, in the moment. But again, I don't think I would have had this kind of, like, you can never know how it's gonna go. There's no guarantee in life, and so the only thing we can do is be the best version of ourselves, you know, for ourselves and for our children.
Yeah.
And that's the daily practice.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like we were talking about, you know, just before we started recording, like my life and things that have happened, and I'm like, I'm at a point now where I'm like, what, just, you know, just go with the flow, just let it go. I don't know what's gonna happen with this, with that, but I'm going to be flexible. I'm going to be open, and I'm not going to really let a ton of it be emotion driven. I'm just going to like just live my life and let things happen. But it's hard, but you just have to, you know, because like I was saying, like, but when, you know, when I was like 20 and I thought about being 40 years old, I didn't picture my life the way that it is. Nothing's wrong with it, but I, you know, I definitely pictured things going differently, and they haven't. But I'm just going with the flow.
Oh my gosh. 100%. I mean, I'm turning 53 in a few minutes.
Mm.
And I definitely never thought my life would be the way it is right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and I still believe in the fairy tale, happily ever after. I still want to get married.
Yeah.
I have kids, so I don't want to have, I mean, I would have had more kids, but not anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I still believe in the white dress wedding and whatever it is. I'm not a Disney fan, and I still believe in fairy tales.
Yeah. Well, but you know, I think you have to keep that hope just to maintain a positive outlook. And you know, I always try to think, like, you know, if I never meet my Prince Charming or the one or whatever, there will be so many other positive things about my life that I know will happen. But I think that will happen. Maybe not like the perfect guy, but like, you know, it will happen. You know, you just have to kind of sort of go on the path that your life's taking you on. But also, you know, just go. For me, like for me, having a gratitude journal or doing a gratitude list every day is like so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even do, I mean, I have like, it's actually right here, but I can't pull it out. But I go buy like a cheap notebook from the dollar store, Target.
Yeah.
It's like $1.50. And that's
right.
My journal. I don't need anything fancy from Amazon or whatever. I just go buy a notebook and I put the date and I do my journaling. And that's, you know, that's so helpful to just really sit down and
So
think, like,
helpful.
what am I grateful for? What do I have that makes my life easier or better, or brings me joy? And it can be little things like soda. Like, I love soda, you know, like today I'm like, I'm so grateful that I was able to have a soda today or whatever, you know, because it does help me in the moment. It helps me feel better. So just
I
really trying
love
to focus
that.
on the positives and keep that hope. The fairy tale will happen and things will happen. It's really important for me.
It's so true. I agree 100%. Yeah, definitely. It's not, this is what I say about to parents all the time, is that it's not about the stuff.
Yeah.
Society
Yeah.
makes us believe that it is.
Yeah.
But they, just like you said, like, you know, when they write down, you know, their son wrote down Bravo and my kid wrote down, you know, salad and popcorn. It's like, those experiences matter the most. And we were just at dinner last night and my daughter said, in our town, they have it's called the butterfly parade. And so when you're in kindergarten, if you're from this town, you make these wings and you walk in the parade and you're a butterfly. And we're like, yeah, you're a local, you made wings. And she was talking about wearing her wings at graduation. And she's like, I remember in kindergarten when you came and you volunteered and I was making my wings and stamping the things. And I was like, you remember that? And she's like, oh yeah. I mean, it's the experience that they remember. Yes, it's that feeling that is cultivated, that we cultivated for them,
yeah.
that makes them I mean, yes, they want the Uggs and they want the, but it's not about the stuff.
Not,
I mean, the stuff does come and luckily now for the kids, it seems like these days it's like hoodies and jeans.
Yeah.
But when I was in high school, you know, it was like, it's almost like who can wear the most pajamas, you know, now it's like, what kind of pajamas can you wear, you know?
To me, it's like, who can look the laziest? I don't know. Like, I tell Evan, I'm like, when I was in high school, like, you didn't, like, no, like, you didn't go to school pajamas.
We were decked out. It's like,
all decked out. Like, first period, I had the makeup, like, everything was done, you know, and I drop him off, like, it's very different now. That's all.
It's very different.
Very different. Very, very different.
I mean, and you know, I have my other mentor, and, you know, and she was like, yes, I mean, definitely money helps. Money is a resource and it can be used for good. And those things definitely help. And like, there have been plenty of nights where we were, you know, where we're having popcorn and hot cocoa. And that was, you know, that felt like $1 million, you know.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily always come down to, you know, the stuff. I'm not sure how we got onto that topic, but
yeah, I remember when we had the first time that we chatted, I had mentioned, I think it was Eva Longoria. I remember reading them saying, like, growing up, I didn't know we were poor. She's like, you didn't really have that much money because there was always love in our house and our parents spent time with us and, you know, we did things as a family and, you know, so the things don't matter. It's like about being there, showing up and just having the experiences, no matter what it is. When Evan was littler, I would just like grab a blanket and like maybe go get like a Subway sandwich and we would just like go to the park and just play.
Yes.
And like, I would have loved to have been able to afford Disneyland then, but like I couldn't. I was a very young single mom. And so it's like, but he remembers those kinds of things, you know? So it doesn't, you know, just showing up and spending time is really the key.
Yes. Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything, COVID brought us together because of those reasons. It's like you were forced to, you know, to not see the outside world of influence of, oh, you have to have this, that, and the other thing. It's like, that was the true connection of going, you know, we called it car picnics because we would, you know, go to the ocean and have a car picnic. And,
that sounds so fun.
I will tell you though, I graduated from grad school. I'll never forget this too, because it was just like talking about Disneyland. It's like such a foreign experience for me. It just is, it's my least favorite place on earth. I know people say it's the happiest place on earth, but for me, it is not. I do not. It's a vibe.
It's, I know what you're saying.
And so anyway, being a single mom with two kids there is not joy at all.
Yeah.
It was work. It was horrible. And the people that told me, they are, you know, there's the Disney people that are the Disney people and they do everything Disney, which is great for them. And this was a couple with one child. And two adults and one child is a totally different experience than one adult and two children.
Yeah.
And I got the fast pass. I got the, you know, whatever, the 3-day pass. And this was like a major event to go to Disneyland. I was graduating from, with my master's and, you know, they have that, oh, what are you doing? I'm going to Disneyland. So I was like, oh, I want to be able to say that for some reason. I don't know. I actually didn't want to be able to say that, but everybody convinced me at the time that it would have been a good idea. But let me tell you, the people that were on board with it were not single moms with two children.
Yeah. No, they weren't. It's a totally different experience. Because I remember when Evan was little, I mean, sometimes even now, like, people be like, oh, like, something, something, bring him and come. And I'm like, I'm going to be by myself with the 3-year-old running around this place. No, I don't. I love you, but I'm not coming. Like, it's different when you have a partner you can rotate or help, you know, just be there for each other with the children or whatever. But if you're by yourself, like, some things are just not ideal. Just
that true. Is so true. And I think, like you said, like, one of the challenges of being a divorced, I think that is the biggest challenge, is that there's no one to rotate with. I don't have family nearby.
Right.
There's no one to rotate. I mean, I'm, you know, it's me, myself, and I.
Right.
And it's a lot of decision making. It's a lot of full time everything. And at the same time, like, I get to be a parent and I get to do all those things. So I, you know, I waffle. But that time in Disneyland, the first day was at Disneyland. The second day was at
California.
Ventura. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the third day was like, okay, which park do you like the best? And we'll go back to that park. Mm-hmm. And my kids said, can we just stay at the hotel pool? And I was like, thank you, God. Yeah. These are my children. Let's just stay at the pool. Like, I do not want to go back. I mean, I had no idea. Like, if you have to go to the bathroom, we all had to get out of line to go to the bathroom. Yeah. It was like, I was totally overwhelmed.
Very overstimulating and expensive.
Overstimulating.
And then there's like all, like, you know, get the fast pass and come back at this time. So you're like rushing through the park to get back to this ride at this time. And there's the app and the
I had no idea. I had no idea what kind of job that would be.
I think there's little tricks. Like, if you go in like off season, like March, February, it's not that busy and the weather will be nicer. So you're not like sweating bullets. Maybe going during the weekday if you can instead of the weekend. There's little things that can make it, you know, easier, I guess. You know, it's less busy. It's just the structure of the park. It's not family friendly. That's supposed to be.
It was definitely not my idea of a vacation. I mean, that was when my daughters were, you know, in kindergarten. So,
yeah,
I mean, that was 10
that
years
ago.
That was
a trip. I heard this thing called.
I haven't been back.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think we went maybe in 2018. I can't remember. But there's a saying like a trip. What is it? A trip is going out of town with your kids. A vacation is going somewhere without your children. Like, if you have your kids with you, it's the trip. But if you're like you know, especially when they're little, now it's different. But like, you know, but when they're little, it's like we're going on a trip. But if you're going somewhere adults only by yourself, whatever, that's a vacation. You can actually relax, you know.
I know 100%. In fact, I just was launching, you know, a group coaching package because I was thinking, like, how do you want these holidays to go this year? Like, do you, you know, do you want to have that, you know, a closer connection versus having it feel like work, you know? But
I
know it's a lot.
Very challenging.
I feel like we all connect the same. Mm-hmm. Children want to feel validated. We want to feel the unconditional love. You know, we all say we love our kids, but then, you know, the minute that, you know, there's clothes on the floor, it's like, oh my God, you know, you're so lazy, whatever. You know, I think that's where society as a whole has gone wrong, is that we've lost the connection piece. Mm-hmm. And that's what I strive to maintain. So, yes, I mean, everybody, like, and I say, like, for myself, like, I've never been this age and stage of my life. So I'm growing through a whole new era of my life being in my 50s.
Yeah.
They've never been this age in their life. So they're going through a whole nother level of transition in their life to be a teenager and to be, you know, so that it, of course, it's stressful and there's a lot of emotions and there's hormones boys and girls are going to have hormones. And, you know, I think we can relate to our children differently because, you know, because I'm a girl, they're a girl. I understand, you know, but, you know, if they were boys, I wouldn't know what the physical body of a boy goes through.
Yeah.
Obviously, because I'm not a boy. But I think the fundamental of connection piece, that's universal. And we all want to feel seen and feel safe to express ourselves and feel safe to be authentic. And when we give space for that, then they want to tell us what's going on.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, I agree. What has been your experience dating as a single mother? I know we talked about it a little bit the first time we chatted, and you said it was kind of on hold for a while because you were, you know, raising your children and just trying to focus on that. Well, what is your experience with it been? How has it been or what has it been like?
Yeah, it definitely has not been my number one focus because career and children have been my number one focus. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people that feel like they can't be alone and they've sought out a relationship right away. And that was never my intention. And I feel like it's so more important for me to become my whole best self and to be my whole self, not like somebody completes me, but that we're two wholes coming together. So, you know, to have 1 + 1 = 11, not that I need to find someone to complete me. And so that has never been a priority for me. I have dated a couple of people. And what I learn now is how to honor my non-negotiables and to trust my intuition. Mm-hmm. And so that's more of the growth for me is being able to know what I want and know what I'm not going to settle for and all in perfect timing. And it's more important that if it comes along, I'm open to it. Now I'm open to it. Before I wasn't even open to it because I knew that I had to heal and grieve my marriage and be completely solid in that. And now I'm open to it. If it were to come along, I'd be happy to date. And that's kind of exciting to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'm not going to sacrifice my relationship with my kids.
Right. Yeah.
And so it's going to be a balance. It's going to be able to learning how to navigate dating and also making space to date and still being the full-time mom that I am.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm right there with you. No dating right now. I'm really not even open or interested unless, like, you know, the Prince Charming comes along. But I doubt that's ever going to really happen because nobody's perfect. But I don't know. I've realized, too, about, like, honoring my intuition and sticking to my non-negotiables. But also, I've realized how much of dating, whatever phase it's in, whether you're, like, just going out on dates or building a relationship with somebody or, like, kind of in the relationship after a year or so, like, it takes a lot out of you. Like, it's just, like, it's a lot to give to another person. And that's what it is. But, like, I just right now want to give to myself and my son. I don't want to have to, like, give so much emotionally, mentally to another person, like a partner, boyfriend, whatever. I just don't want to do that right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's good that you know that. It's absolutely good to have clarity around, you know, what you want and what you don't want. And that's kind of where I keep coming back to. It's like, okay, what do I want? What do I want?
Yeah.
And to give that to myself first, because, you know, I mean, it is funny about the whole, like, that I can buy myself flowers song.
Yeah.
It's like, it gives me the most joy to buy myself flowers.
Yeah. It's very joyful to be able to go or to have fun or enjoy yourself in whatever you're doing by yourself. Like, you don't need to have somebody else there. Like, we're just, oh my God, that puppy's gonna die. We're talking about Vegas, you know? And I'm like, yeah, it would have been nice to, like, have, I mean, I wanted my son to go with me. He didn't want to go. He wanted to stay. But then I was in Vegas, you see couples and you see people together. And it's like, oh, it'd be nice to, like, have somebody with me. But then I'm like, but I'm having a great time by myself too. Like, I don't need to have somebody with me to have a good time. I can go do whatever it is by myself and enjoy myself. And it's important to get there, you know? Important to get there.
Definitely. I mean, I can't lie to say that it wouldn't be nice to have somebody to go out to dinner with and things like that. But being able to do those things, to essentially date myself, I think that women, we give so much away that we do lose who we are. And it's important to feel that wholeness within ourselves. And I go through phases where I feel like I'm, you know, I'm there, I'm whole, I'm ready. And then at the same time, I sometimes feel like I'm not. So it's just, again, it's like all in perfect timing and everything is always happening for my highest good. And when the right moment comes along, the right person and the right whatever it is. And even if it's not the right, it's a growth step into knowing more of what I don't want. So I know what I do want.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I definitely agree. So you talked about it a little bit earlier in the episode, but let's talk about your parenting consultation business and a little bit more about the work that you do and how just to contact with you if they're interested in.
Yeah, thank you. So right now I do have a group coaching program available if there's more than one person, if they're comfortable with in a group situation. I feel like a group coaching is powerful because, for one, it's an awareness piece that you're not alone and that we're not alone to not only feel the way we do, or like most people are suffering in silence and most people are suffering from similar situations as far as, you know, what, depending on the age and stage of the child, it's like we've all been there at some point, like because parenting is universal. They're very similar challenges, just different households and the way that we manage our household. And what's unique about my program is that I have the 7 pillars of parenting alignment, which is in my book. I focus a lot about connection and secure attachment. And I also focus more on it's becoming the best version of yourself, of ourselves. It's the best version of who you can be in the moment, because we cannot change the behavior of the child. And if we do so, it's at the detriment of the child. Mm-hmm. What we really can work on is how can we become aware of who we are being in the moment, how we're triggered, how we respond, how we react, how we overreact, what the triggers are, and how do we, you know, it is a kind of a self-development, self-healing journey. And that is the bridge to the relationship will change for the better. The children like will change on their own. Like you'll notice the fires don't flare up like they used to because we approach things differently. And so that's the angle really that I take. So I'm available for one-on-one coaching. And I'm available for group coaching, and I'm Home and Harmony Parenting at Home and Harmony Parenting. I have a YouTube channel that has a lot of shorts on it. I have Instagram channel at Home and Harmony Parenting. I have a Facebook page. It's Home and Harmony Parenting, but I have a link tree. I also have a mealtime masterclass. I have the Tantrum Toolbox. I have the Picky Eater Playbook.
These are all available on your website, on the website. Okay.
Those are all really, really great resources. I mean, my book is only like, I don't know, $10, $12 on Amazon, but you can also, I offer a chapter for free. It's pillar 3 called communication.
Okay.
Because communication, like there's a whole parenting paradigm that my intention is to help heal the world through. This goes back to, I'm going to just read my very favorite quote, because I have it marked here, because this is what catapulted my career, is that there is no single effort more radical in its potential for saving the world than a transformation of the way we raise our children.
Mm-hmm.
And Miriam Williamson said that. And it's just so true. It's because we want things to change, but we're trying to change the wrong things. And so it's like, if we change ourselves, it becomes being a very present parent. When you look back in history, which I don't usually do very often, but when we do and we look back at all of like the tragedies, the catastrophic things that have happened, if you look at that person's childhood, that person has come from a very unharmonious home.
To say the least. Yeah. Whenever there's, you know, one of the a mass shooting, first thing you hear, usually you hear like reported is like about their household. Like that's the first thing like a journalist wants to know is like, what was the structure of their household? What were their parents like? What were their dynamics? Because that can just kind of explain, maybe not explain, but it's a understanding of maybe why this child did this. And their home is always chaotic.
Yeah, I mean, of course, there's exceptions, but at the same time, I mean, it really does, like you said, I mean, it does come back to, you know, it starts at home. Everything starts at home.
Yep. Yeah.
And so That's why it's always on my heart is I want to be a resource for people and parents. And it's, I mean, I didn't make this stuff up. I mean, I've gone through the fire. I've studied it. You know, you with a child development degree, you studied it. Yeah. I mean, we know we have the educational background. We have the experience working with children. I have the intuitive ability. And then, like, I don't think I could be where I am today if I didn't go through divorce and become a single parent and learn what that's like and how to manage navigating, you know, raising children and things like that and co-parenting. You know, I know you had another guest on. It's how I found you, actually, through Betsy.
Betsy has similarities too.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, oh my gosh, Betsy was on your podcast. And I was on her podcast. And I resonate with her. And there is two very different degrees of grief when you're a widow versus a divorce. But there is a grieving process and becoming a single parent. And the grief of a widow is because there is complete closure. You know, you're never going to see that person again. You're know what is on the way. But when you're a single parent and you're co-parenting or you're going through a divorce, I mean, your situation is also different, but the same as being, you know, you're a single mom, but you're not co-parenting. So you're not having to, you know, to navigate that extra. You're not navigating with that other person. So you have a different kind of grief and process. There is the commonality of being, you know, of the education that it takes to raise children as a single parent.
Yeah. There's a lot to learn and a lot to just to learn how to handle yourself. You know, there've been so many, like, I guess, like, precarious situations I've been in where, you know, I've been triggered or I could potentially be triggered, feeling left out of certain things, of certain friend groups or parent groups, you know, not being able to afford something, you know, that the school need, you know, my son wants to do, all the parents can afford it, but like, I'm like, how am I going to do this? You know, there's lots of things. There's lots of things to learn how to manage and negotiate. And two, speaking of grief, like, there, for me, there was a grief process of like, my parenthood experience and motherhood experience is going to be different than what I thought it was going to be. Do you think you're going to have the white picket fence and the supportive husband and all of the things you see in the movies, and, you know, just the perfect little nest of a home and whatever. It was not like that for me. And it was very hard for me to like accept that like my experience is gonna be different than others and look different than what I thought. It's like sad to realize that, but you know, I've, you know, picked myself up and made a home for myself and my child, and that's what I wanted to do having children, regardless of whether I had a spouse or not, was make a home. And I think I've
and
done
you,
that
yeah and bit. You did that, and your son feels that. And what was profound there is that what I've really learned through all of this, and I wrote this in a different book when I published my chapter in a co-authored book, Radical Freedom. And I wrote the chapter, it's also on my Linktree, it's called Connection, Not Perfection, because I had this illusion that everybody is perfect. Everybody has this perfect life. Everybody's perfectly perfect in every possible way, except for me, because I'm divorced and I'm a single mom and I'm, you know, all of those things. But what I really am learning even more now than ever is that the people are just suffering in silence. They just have a mask on and nobody knows really what's going on behind closed doors, because people would have said that about my marriage. I mean, we looked perfectly perfect, you know, and we weren't. And I didn't even really realize it myself, because I think I'd convinced myself that it was good enough, you know, but nobody's perfect. And it's a fallacy and kids don't even want perfect. They want our connection. And I think that's the piece that's missing, especially now with social media. And I mean, my kids joke with me now because they're like, I know it's curated content because I'm always like telling them, like, that's not real. That's curated content, you know?
Because, you know, there's things like, there's a saying like, oh, people are only showing their highlight reel. They're not showing their real life or whatever. So yeah, I tell that to my son too. And I try to remember that too, because you get so like,
it's easy
wrapped up in like, you know, just what it looks like for everybody else. But I have learned now that like every, you know, it seems like somebody's in a great marriage. The people that, I don't know, the people that I feel like the people that try to make it look great on social media, they're probably in the worst situations or worst relationships.
Yeah. Really, I mean, like we really
questioning
know
that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and for the people that are in blissful marriages and all of that, I think that that's also wonderful because that gives me hope that is possible. And that's the faith that I stay in is that I know that I get to have that too. And I've also had a reframe on jealousy because jealousy for me used to be like victim pity party, but now it's a reframe again. It's like, oh, I see that they created that. I want to create that too.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, whatever it is, it's like, oh, that's a possibility that actually exists. Or, oh, I want that handbag also.
Yeah.
Or,
it's very inspiring. I have so many. And that's kind of part of the reason why I want to do the podcast, because like I know there's a lot of all different types of single moms in different circumstances. But like, you know, I struggled particularly the first 5 years after having my son, like with just so many things. And I've realized like some of the things that I struggled with or wanted, I now have. And so I wanted to like, any younger single mom that may listen to this or see this and think like they'll get there too. Like you will get to some of the places that you're, you know, you'll get over things, you'll heal, you'll get to some of the places that you want to get to. You just have to keep going, you know, I want that to, that's my hope with the podcast is like somebody in my circumstance, maybe somebody in your circumstance, somebody who's a widow, somebody who's whatever, military spouse and alone all the time, you'll get there, you know.
Yes, keep going, just keep moving forward. That was my mantra for many, it's still my mantra because we can never go back. We can only keep moving forward and letting, you know, the doors open and willing to let the doors open and being willing to take risks and then course correct because, you know, I say this when I'm traveling is like, I don't know where I'm going until I go. And then especially, you know, in Europe, if you're on the train, it's like, I don't know which way I'm going. And I get on the train. I'm like, oh, I'm going the wrong way. I have to get off the train and go a different way. You know, it's like, that's life. And
you figure it out.
Keep moving forward is such a good mantra.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the truth.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It has been a pleasure and an honor to have you on my podcast. I am thrilled that we met and, you know, I look forward to keeping in touch. And I will link everything, all the links and whatnot for to get in contact with Monica.
No, I agree. Thank you so much. This is the best blessing is to meet like-minded, strong, capable women and to have, you know, broaden our friendships and deepen our friendships and our connections. And we just never know who's going to know someone is going to know someone is going to know someone and the connection and putting our feelers out there. So it's been a joy and an honor. And thank you for hosting me on your podcast.
Of course.
And I do look forward to building our friendship and staying connected.
Yes, of course. I would love to. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.